This is the start of revival, and certainly it's Father's Day. And again, let me say to our fathers how much I appreciate you. I am blessed to have one of the greatest daddies in the world. And I thank God for him, and I thank God for the heritage that he's given me. This morning, I want you to know this, though, brothers and sisters, that we certainly have a Heavenly Father that loves us. He's demonstrated that to us by sending his Son to die on Calvary, that we might believe and be washed in his blood and be saved by his grace. Now, I want you to know this morning, your Father loves you, and he wants you to know him and be known of him. A lot of people say, well, I know the Lord exists, but do you really know him, and are you known of him? Have you really been born again of the Spirit of the Almighty God? In the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, if you'll turn there with us, Matthew in the 7th chapter, and certainly we desire your prayers this morning. Miss Keena and Brady and Drew and some of our others are off. Hunter's preaching at Ebenezer, and Danny's over at Mount Gilead. So God's using some of our folks here, there, and yonder, and I'm glad of that. But in this 7th chapter and the 7th verse, the Lord Jesus Christ on the mount begins to tell them this: ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father God, as we come to you in the most precious name ever uttered by lips, that being the name of Jesus. God, so thankful this morning for your saving grace. So thankful for how you came to us where we were. And God, we sought you, but then, Lord, you found us. God, I pray with all that within me is, some of these that I've been carrying in my heart for years, God, you draw them to an altar of prayer. God, we pray for your conviction, for the moving of your Spirit. And it's in the days of David when they waited under the mulberry trees for the sound of the moving. God, I pray that your Spirit would move and search the house of God. And Father, again, we don't want to just have a series of meetings. But God, as we have revival, we want to experience your presence every morning and every night. God, in the presence of the King, the Bible said, there's peace. In the presence of the King, there's joy. In the presence of the King, there's eternal life. And I'm glad that we can find ourselves alone in the midst with Jesus. God, as they took that woman in the act of adultery and threw her before your feet, and as they walked out condemned by their own conscience, she was left alone in the midst. God, how I pray this morning that lost men and women, boys and girls, would be left alone in the midst with you. God, we can pray for them and we can labor for them, but in the end, when they get alone with you, you can save them. God, I'm glad today that, Lord, there is the saving power of God. Lord, I'm glad today the gospel being preached is sufficient. God, I'm glad today there is a great woman called the Mother Church. And now, God, I pray this week, liberate her that she might do the work that you've called her to do. The Bible tells us that when Zion travails, she'll bring forth children. And so, God, we trade in our life to her, and we trade in our joy for from sackcloth and ashes and tears, God. Lord, that we might see lost men and women, boys and girls saved by your grace. God, if you can save somebody like me, I'm persuaded you can save the whole world. So now, God, I pray, Lord, do that that only you can do. And when it's said and done, we'll bow and wear the head and give you thanks for it all. God, comfort those that have left a lost loved ones. And God, there's a big hole that's left in the church from those that have gone on. But God, by faith, I see a little dinner table up in a place called heaven where they're gathering one by one. But they'll have to wait until we get there. And God, one day, that's where we're headed. God, we love you and praise you. Now bless the reading of your word in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Let me say, brothers and sisters, this morning, if we'd have had our youth group, I'd have loved to hear them sing, "We have a good, good Father." I'm glad this morning we have a Father that loves us. He knows what we stand in need of, and He knows how to get it to us when we need it the worst. Now I want you to know this morning, your Heavenly Father, the Bible calls Him the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, and every perfect gift comes from Him. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this, the greatest gift a man could ever have and the greatest gift a woman could ever receive is a salvation that comes from God. He is the author of our salvation. Thank God He's begun a good work in us, and He's going to perform it until the day we die or until the day He comes in glory. But oh, Father's Day this morning, I want to tell you, you've got a Father that knows what you stand in need of. And when He sent Jesus, He sent His best. When He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, He knew we were going to need to be saved. He knew we were going to need to be forgiven. He knew that there was going to have to be a sacrifice. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And thank God in the Old Testament, they brought forth a lamb without spot or blemish, and they sacrificed it. Oh, but I want you to know, the Lamb of God, the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on Calvary and shed His blood that those of us who were dirty sinners might be washed. I want you to know this morning, brothers and sisters, I have no boast save one. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God. Not what I could do for myself. I was without help. I was in need. But He came to where I was, and He saved my soul. And oh, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I want you to know your Father in heaven loved you enough to send Jesus to die for you. The question is asked, what man of you, if your son ask of you, what of you, if he ask of bread, would you give him a stone? You know, I've got children, Hunter and Kayla, and I love my children, and I've done my best to provide for them as a father should, and I've done my best to make sure they had food on the table and shelter over there, you know, to be a place to sleep and a home to live in. But I'm going to tell you, both of them, a time come when they needed something that I could not give them. They both got lost, and the Lord had to be the one to move in their behalf and save them. I'm going to tell you, listen, church, listen. He encouraged us to pray. He told us to seek. He told us to knock. He told us He would answer. And what I want us to do, no, not what I want us to do. What God wants us to do is to pray and to seek the face of God. And if we'll do that on behalf of those that have never been saved, God will move toward them. Listen, I want you to know this, lost sinner friend. The greatest thing you could ever do on your behalf is to seek after the Lord. Every now and again, God requires of us some action on our part. And while I can't save myself, when my heart goes seeking after the Lord, I promise you this, He will be found. And he said, now, if us being evil men know how to give good gifts, how much more does our Father? You know, me and Keena, she ain't here, so I can say this and maybe get away with it. Me and Keena at Christmas time, we had totally two different opposing views. I'm that guy that whenever we got our kids something and I really, really wanted them to have it, I didn't wait till Christmas. Man, that got us in some of the most awful fights you ever saw. One year, Hunt wanted a set of golf clubs and a certain brand, and he could hit them real well. And we bought them for him, and we no more than got back with them. And here he comes to the car, and I said, "Son, Merry Christmas." Woo, boy, she got so mad at me. And she said, "Now what? What are we going to give them for Christmas?" I said, "They've got it. It just come a little bit early." Made her madder than far. Don't y'all repeat this now. I'll be in awful trouble. But I wanted him to have that because I knew he wanted it. Listen, your Father wants you to be saved, not because you want it, because you need it. And he knows how to give us what we stand in need of. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. For those that are hungry, he is a bread of life. He is that that was broken on Calvary. He is that whose flesh was broken. And by him, he said, if any man eat of what I give, he shall never die. Listen, my brothers and sisters. In the wilderness, they ate manna from heaven, and it sustained them. But to the saved children of God, when I come to the house of God and the word of God is preached, it's bread for my soul. And our Father in heaven, he knows how to feed us exactly what we need. Amen. Under the thirsty, he is everlasting water. He is a well of salvation springing up unto life everlasting. Oh, I made the comment this morning. There's a river that flows from the throne of God. I want you to know, to the saved folks, you hear me now, to the saved children of God, when you come in, you bring your stream and I bring my stream and we put them together, and there is a river that flows through the house of God that a sinner can be plunged in and washed white and clean. In Ezekiel's day, he said, "I beheld a river that flowed from the throne of God." There is a river, my friend, that washes us, that quenches our thirst, that gives us life everlasting, and it comes through Jesus. Under the heartbroken, he is a great physician. Oh, maybe you're here this morning and your heart is broken. Maybe you're here this morning and everything that you've turned to in life has let you down. Maybe you're here this morning and the people that ought to loved you and cared for you turned their back on you and your heart's broke. Let me tell you about my Savior Jesus. I want you to know he is a great physician, and he's the one that can heal your broken heart. I don't know of a church that I've ever pastored that I've seen go through more death than what we've been through in the last year. I've seen enough death to last me for the rest of my life. Men and women that I dearly love, men and women that were saved by the grace of God, that I know are in the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know, some of you are here and you're still numb, and some of you are here and your heart's still broken, and some of you are here and you are wounded. But I want you to know this about Jesus. He is a great physician, and it's his desire to lay hands on your broken heart and mend it. Do you realize in the day and age we live, there's so much strife and there's so much trouble, and the church has become in so many different instances no more than just a meeting house. I want you to know something about our Father's house. In one place Jesus said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." And boo boo, you said it right. We are a hospital for the broken, wounded souls of men. But thank God there's an attendant physician. His name is Jesus, and he knows how to heal our broken heart. unto the lost and dying. He is a good shepherd that give his life for the sheep. He is the one that left the 99 and went in search after that one little lost lamb. And when he found it, he put it on his shoulders and brought it back rejoicing. You say, preacher, that don't mean much to me. One day I was a lost lamb. He is the one that came to seek and to save that which is lost. He is the one with healing in his wings. I want to tell you, he's the one that gave his life on Calvary. He's the one that arose on the third day. He's the one that's seated at the right hand of God. He's the one who sent the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of the book of Acts. He's the one that you're looking for. He's the one that you need. And when you find him, you'll find peace, joy, and love. But he's the one. Brothers and sisters, under the church, you know, it's a cloudy, rainy day. Anybody else have trouble sometimes on cloudy, rainy days with depression? I can sometimes be one of the most depressed people you ever saw. I get done, get out of a revival, and your old soul, you're exhausted. You've expended emotional and spiritual all you got. Now, I'm just being honest with you, there are times that I'd get down. Is anybody else that way? There are times that I just need a little cheering up and a little pick-me-up. Anybody else like the old pastor? Let me tell you this. He's a bouquet of flowers on a cloudy day. You say, what do you mean, Brother Russell? He is a rose of Sharon. He is a lily of the valley. Thank God he is that that brings joy and restores joy. He's the one who can make a clean thing out of an unclean one. He's the one, listen, who gives us the right to go to heaven. He is the one, brothers and sisters, I believe that when the soul of man dies and it comes time to cross the river Jordan, somebody said, well, I'll have a loved one meet me there. Somebody said, an angel meet me there. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ will meet us there. Stephen, when he died, didn't say, I see my mama. He didn't say, I see my daddy. He said, I see Jesus. But God has given us exactly what we need and who we need in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this week as we endeavor the journey of revival, and I love this because every revival is just that. It is a journey. We'll start out, and we've started out this morning. We're going to come back tonight. And if I know my heart, Brother Sam's going to preach the Word of God to us tonight. And I'm going to say to you lost folks, you keep coming to the house of God. Listen, in church, I want you to pray and ask the Lord to send powerful conviction upon their heart. And I want you to know when conviction comes, you'll know it. Stand to your feet this morning. Father's Day 2021. A lot of fathers in here proud of their children. A lot of children in here love their daddies. But I'm going to tell you something. And I love my earthly father, but I've never had anything like Jesus. I've never had anything like the love of God in Christ. Come get us a song, if you will, this morning. Now listen, church, I'm going to tell you this. Don't think for a second that we can just scoop by and just come into the house of God, and we can't. We can have a series of meetings and call it revival. If that's the desire of our heart, God will He'll let that happen. But if you desire the presence of God, and I'm going to tell you something, that's what makes revival revival. That's what gets people saved. And it starts with the church. It starts with you and it starts with me. And we can't be 1,000 miles away and our minds on everything else and expect God to bless the revival. It don't work like that. Revival never happens in a vacuum. It is prayed down. It is sought for. And what I need is some men and women who know what revival is to get down on their face and to pray and ask God to send it. And I trust you've been praying that. But I'm going to tell you, we're not going to go through a week of haphazard meetings where we just come together and all we're worried about is what we're going to eat afterward. We've got lost amongst us. This is the greatest labor we'll ever have. Let me ask you this, and I'm close. How many of you were saved in revival? Raise your hand. Look at all those hands that have lifted up. Saved in revival. Somebody put something in that revival. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody asked for it. And church, that's what we've got to do. We've got to pray and ask God to move. Go ahead, Stephen, what you got? If you need to come pray this morning, you come and pray.